For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome to another Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. Yes, it is me. It doesn't look like me. I've got a sweatshirt on for the first time, and my voice is still terrible. No, it's not Vegas voice. I swear, I went to Vegas with this voice. Came back with it worse because it's so hard to talk there. Feeling somewhat better. Actually, I was sick for a good part of it, which actually helped my Vegas time, you know. Didn't do as much, et cetera. Went to an Aztec game, F1. But this is all about football primarily. We may touch on college football, but NFL football. We're done with week 11, except for, quote, the Super Bowl rematch Monday night. And I think it's really interesting. Taylor, Jacob are here with me here. Taylor's off camera. Jacob, has there ever been a Super Bowl rematch this late in the season, where both teams are leading their prospective conferences and they're both coming off a bye? Because that almost makes it like a Super Bowl setup. Late season, leading their conferences, and coming off bye weeks, both sides. That's like what the Super Bowl is, coming off bye weeks. Has that ever happened before? We're trying to ask the research department here.
Yeah, Taylor's the research department, says he's off mic. No, that's a good point. Incredible that they're both still so healthy too. I mean, that's part of why they're leading their respective conferences, but Dallas Goedert is the main absence for the Eagles and the two middle linebackers.
One on each side. Yeah. Right. Some secondary depth issues,
right,
for the Eagles, but the Chiefs have had wide receiver depth issues, at least in terms of performance. So that'll be interesting there. And I know you'll probably tease it, but you guys will have some sort of interesting. You guys are hot. All the guarantees have come through, knock on wood.
Yeah, 3-0 on our guarantees leading up. Thanks for the segue, Doc. We got a guarantee for tonight's game. So you sign up for Sick Picks and you'll get that guarantee. If that guaranteed prop doesn't hit, then you'll get your money back guaranteed. So,
yeah, my whole thing is, as I always say to you guys, I'm in the kitchen. I'm preparing the meals. How you guys serve them, what you pair them with, and what wines you pair with them, that's you guys. The picks and stuff, I give the injury information on the games tonight and this weekend, and we set up the field views. And then what comes from it downstream is the algorithm and what you guys do with it, et cetera. So appreciate that. You guys have been hot there, especially with the guarantees.
Our big five-star play this week was Dallas -11.5. I know double-digit spread scares people off, but all the injuries to Carolina secondary caught up with them. And Dallas looked pretty good. O-line's coming together a little bit. Tyron Smith's back. And
This shows you I'm not a handicapper. When you guys came to me and said all the injury information's all over Dallas, I was like, on the road, on grass, Brian Burns coming back, back door, this, that, the other, new offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, calling plays. I don't love it. But you guys are like, no, trust the process, the injury information, what we do, this is what it is. This is the guarantee, five-star. It's very clear from injury analysis, and it worked out, which is why I'm not a handicapper. You guys are, just the information here.
I want to look ahead to this week. Obviously, a short week, three Thursday games get through, and a all new Black Friday game. So let's hit some names for those ones. Green Bay, Detroit is the morning game. Aaron Jones left last week with the MCL, just yesterday with the MCL, got bent back kind of weird. He said he had the towel over his head because he thought maybe the ACL was involved, but obviously good news so far. No involvement of that. They said non-surgery.
Did they say that because he was worried about the ACL?
He said that himself. He said that's why he had the towel over his head, distraught. So that goes to don't judge the reaction, because players always fear the worst.
Well, that's what I always say. Don't judge the reaction to the injury. Don't judge the throw in the helmet. Don't judge the cart. Don't judge the tears or emotions and whatever. Judge the injuries. Aaron, follow us on Twitter. We said MCL only. You'll be okay. Not for Thursday, but you'll be okay. We could have helped you out here. We like delivering good news. MCL only. He does wear those MCL braces. He's had MCLs on both sides.
Right.
Look, I'm glad he's happy with the news. No ACL. It didn't look like ACL, but with the MCL, he's not playing on Thursday there.
Yeah, a little bit of a cluster too. I mean, they have AJ Dillon, but the third string, maybe fourth string, Emmanuel Wilson dislocated his shoulder playing in limited action after Aaron Jones went out. So I'm assuming he's out Thursday as well.
Short week, especially if it's first time, it'd be very tough.
Into another game, Washington Dallas is the next one. No real new injuries in that one, but Leighton Van Der Esch is a big loss in that defense for them. Done for the season. I think we've highlighted that probably going to hang it up too with the previous neck issues that have been following him since the draft. So that's a key one, except for their O-line. O-line's coming together, but it's still a little banged up. Terrence Steele kind of rounded into form with that multi-ligament tear.
The one thing I'll say about Leighton Van Der Esch is that if he quits football, he can live a completely normal life. It's just that if you have a further disc issue after fusion, further fusion rules you out from football, but you can live a normal life.
Right.
And so at least that's good for him. But yeah, that'd be an interesting game. Dallas is hot. The Giants upset the Commanders.
Yeah. Couldn't shower after as a whole ordeal. So they get to go to Dallas.
Shower pill.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of that. That's a rough one.
Tommy DeVito hangs three
touchdowns on you, and then you can't even shower it off after.
Yeah, you can't, whatever, shower the stench off. Look, it's an easy line there, but let me tell you something. It's not accurate that you couldn't shower. That's fake news, Jacob.
Couldn't hot shower.
Correct. The water was working. The water heater was not working. You could have cold showered all you want, but there was no hot shower.
You can't get a stove working. You get the bucket. You warm it up in the pot. You know, I've had to do that before.
Here's my next level of curiousness. After a game, of course, showering, but there's a lot of cold tub action going on.
Yeah.
But apparently the word I heard was that there was some malfunction and they couldn't fix it because in order to fix it, they would have to turn off all the water and they couldn't turn off the water at the stadium during the game, et cetera.
Right.
Did they have hot water before the game?
That's a good question.
Because what are you going to do with all your hot tub stuff before the game?
Yeah.
Warm up before the game.
I feel like that would have come out before the game if they didn't have hot water then.
I don't know that anyone's asked the question, but yeah. I don't know. But usually there's a lot of hot tub action. Some of the tubs self-heat a little bit. I don't know. Usually you're trying to pour in, help it out with some hot water.
Do the beat writers have the in-depth knowledge of all the cold tub, hot tub, that kind of cadence before games?
I don't know. I didn't even ask the question until we talked about it right here. But insider knowledge, not insider information. If we had insider information, we could have told you what happened there. No, I haven't called anyone about it. But I don't know. It's just a question. But I would assume it would have been fair for both sides, right? Both sides wouldn't have had hot water, I would assume.
I don't know that we want a lot more shower analysis from you, Doc. So let's stick with the injuries. Seattle, San Francisco is the night game, big division matchup. Both teams hot. Kenneth Walker left the game with the oblique, quickly ruled doubtful. Geno Smith had the. All right, let's talk Kenneth Walker first, and then we'll get to Geno. Kenneth Walker, you see him playing Thursday at all?
Don't think so. And he pretty clearly was oblique. Now, oblique muscles, torso, you could call it core, often attaches to ribs. Very painful. It's like a painful stitch in your side. The only chance of somehow he could be injected to play, but I would put him on the doubtful side.
Christian McCaffrey did come back from that in 1 week. Is that
but there's different
degrees, different degrees of it.
We didn't notice a play on Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
He was stretching in and it was sore. There was a particular play. So I think it has to be higher grade.
Right.
Therefore, I don't think he comes back.
Pete Carroll called it a legit tear. So he's usually on the optimistic side. It doesn't sound optimistic. So maybe, like you said, it's a little bit worse than what.
Forget that it's a legit tear. I want to know what's an illegitimate tear.
Yeah. I think it's more like he's always of the attitude, oh, he'll shake it off. He'll be out there. but now it's legit. So he's giving him he's giving him an excuse to miss the game.
Pollyanna Pete, right? Yeah. If he's negative at all, I think you have to be very careful there.
Geno Smith, looks like your early positivity is coming true. I mean, he was out for a good stretch. Drew Lock threw that pick, and then Geno comes back for the last drive. Seemed like they had a bunch of different wraps on it, like a cold wrap, and then he was throwing, then they put on a warm wrap. And it looks like Pete specifically said it was a hit to his tricep that blew up on him and prevented him from throwing for a bit. But he said he's not ruling him out for Thursday, has a decent chance to play. So that'll be a big one to watch, because I don't think any Seahawks fan want Drew Lock playing four quarters.
Drew, my first take is, if you could read body language and emotion, Drew Lock was not happy that Geno Smith came back into the game. But what are you going to do? You don't have a choice. Look, I've been around long enough. Actually, it was a game in Seattle. I could get it wrong, but it was in terms of the exact sequence. But it was the craziest quarterback sequence I've ever seen in my life. Ryan Leaf was our starting quarterback, and he had thrown a couple of picks. Then he gets yanked by head coach Kevin Gilbride. Craig Wilhan comes in the game. First pass, he throws a pick. And he gets yanked, and Ryan Leaf comes back in the game. Next position, he throws a pick, and he gets yanked. It was just like, what is going on here? Obviously, that was so long ago. We'll have to look up the details of that. I mean, I'm so traumatized by that I can't even remember all the details. But it was in the old indoor Seattle Superdome, or whatever you call it, in the old indoor structure before the new stadium outdoors. But anyways, Geno Smith is going to return to play. This is where we said in game, this is not a Brock Purdy. He caught his elbow, arm, not in the same way. I actually don't even think it's triceps. Triceps is more posterior. This is more on the inside. Part of the triceps, I'm not faulting Pete Carroll for saying triceps. I don't see how Geno Smith doesn't play. Now, also, I don't think they put ice on his arm. Ice is to shut down. Yeah,
that was from the beat writers. I don't know if they knew 100% what the wrap was.
It was like a heat wrap, trying to loosen it up.
We'll show you the play again. It was the main hit to the arm that you saw, but then he kind of gets hit on the backside of his arm as he's going down too. So maybe that's what Pete's referring to. But you were worried about the elbow stopping from the throw. Yeah.
All I care about is not Brock Purdy last year. So as long as it's not that, we're okay.
Yeah. The other one, so those are Thursday games. Friday is Miami at the Jets. All new Tim Boyle regime underway. Mekhi Becton left that game with the high ankle. That's the 13th different O-line combination the Jets have used so far. So maybe the 14th this time with Billy Turner maybe filling in for Becton. It's tough to ask Zach Wilson to step in and be effective. I don't know that we're expecting a lot different from Tim Boyle.
I mean, Tim Boyle started some. Yeah, I don't think Mekhi Becton's going to be there. Right high ankle, according to what we're saying. I feel bad for Zach Wilson. I mean, people are memeing him, tripping backwards as he falls and the whole deal. I mean, it just goes to show you it's a really fine line. If you look at all this film from BYU, he was really good. And he's shown flashes, but here, like, it's a very fine line, you know, in the NFL.
I think it's interesting, too. Like, early in the offseason, we were asking the question, can the Jets O-line keep Aaron Rodgers healthy? Obviously, it was a freak occurrence that got him out for the season, but it's not like Zach Wilson had a perfect O-line situation, everything set up for him. So it kind of gets lost in the shuffle that they've had so many different issues on the O-line.
You're right. Well, that's what we said in the preseason. The O-line was what was going to let the Jets down this year. It wasn't going to be their defense. It wasn't going to be Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't going to be their receiving core. Or even with our panning Breece Hall, clearly he did better than we thought, and Dalvin Cook did worse. But whatever, it was the O-line that gave up the sack that hurt Aaron Rodgers. It was the O-line that obviously has a ton of issues.
There was a Schefter tweet that explained all that. Today they've had almost seven different O-line combinations. They haven't scored in a while, and that's specifically due to them.
Yep, Tim Boyle versus Dolphins. That'll make at least the 50th new quarterback this year, right?
Yeah, no, I had that later on the list. Jake Browning's going to be 49, and then because I was looking, 48 teams, quarterbacks have started. It's not the 49 number.
Now 49, so it'll be
two, so four, Jake Browning will be 49, Tim Boyle will be 50. Well, Tim Boyle will be 49, and then Jake Browning will be 50 because Jake Boyle plays Sunday.
There you go.
Jake Browning plays Sunday.
New different starting quarterbacks
right
this season, counting Josh Dobbs twice.
Right. That's where you get the 49 is Josh Dobbs twice. That's what I wasn't thinking. 48 quarterbacks, but 49 combinations of quarterback. I gotcha. The other one's Achane. Mike McDaniel already talked about Achane, said, found out it's the same knee. It's not going to require surgery. We're just getting extra feedback and decisions on that. Didn't rule him out for this week against the Jets. He said it's pretty much day to day.
I'm going to have a little fun with Coach McDaniel here. We said it to Aaron Jones. Maybe you should look at the tweets or the website. Maybe you should have. We told you it was the same knee in game. That was the same MCL that he left for. Now,
yeah.
I don't expect the head coach to remember which knee it was. In the heat of action, the head team doc, the head athletic trainer, does not talk to the head coach, period. Now, a lot of times, because we're at the edge of the box and we're standing next to the head coach, he's got a headset on. I don't think I've ever had one full-on conversation with a head coach during a game. I have to think about that. During the heat of battle of the game, they just want the information, and there's a channel, so it does make sense. I was kind of making fun of Mike McDaniel saying, "Oh, we found out." It's not like he doesn't know. That's not the detail. They just say he's out right now. That's all. Right. He doesn't need any more than that. You know, he's not asking which knee, how bad is it, how long is he out for. He's in the heat of battle, yeah. Right? And so then afterwards, he found out. So his being honest. But it just sounds funny, like coach speak, but he's being honest. He found out later that it was the same knee. That's true. And my video was the same knee, very mild. Bad news, same knee. Bad news, re-aggravation. Good news, very mild, no surgery. But we don't think he plays Black Friday. Why? It happens so early and so quickly. Roster spots are precious. You got to put him on your 46-man roster. How many plays did he last?
Two. He had two touches. So
two touches. You can use that spot for, I don't know what their lineup is, an eighth offensive lineman instead of seven, an extra this or instead of that. And you want him to get healthy for what? You need him for stretch run, not this second.
Stuff, yeah.
Quicker turnaround, short week. If I have to read the tea leaves here, he is not going to play on Friday after two carries, 6 weeks absence, two carries, and re-aggravates the knee. He's not playing on Friday. Just not. And if it were the Super Bowl, he would play.
Right.
But this is different situation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is interesting with the new IR rules. I know you didn't deal with that a lot with your time as team head physician, but it's kind of interesting the timing of it. I mean, Justin Jefferson, they opened his practice window, but they said not week 11, maybe not week 12, but yet there's a week 13 bye, so that kind of comes into play. Do you think they rushed Achane back a little bit, or is it like you're not going to return a guy at 100% because 80 is a good week in the NFL? It's hard to tell with those.
I mean, he re-aggravated, so everyone can fairly say you rushed him. But, right. You know, he could have gotten an MCL in the other knee too. So hard to say. It seems like they took their time from the perspective that we thought he could maybe avoid IR, yet he was an IR and he was 6 weeks. So from that aspect, they took their time. So it's hard for me to throw stones there that they didn't. But now that there's some feeling that maybe they were too quick, they're not going to make the same mistake twice.
Yeah.
So I don't see him playing this Black Friday game. They've got other healthy backs, and they'll make other roster decisions.
I think you've seen firsthand the difference of speed in practice in the game too. As a guy looks fine in practice, checks out all the drills, checks out all the tests, and then you get in the game and he tries to push it that little bit more, and then re-aggravation happens. We've seen that with hamstrings, all that.
Which is also why I don't believe Justin Jefferson plays till after the bye. Now, Minnesota, they lost. Heartbreaker there at the end. But, look, they need no setbacks from Jefferson. The only way he plays this week, if he shows he wants to, he shows them he's really 100%, and they feel like there's no advantage of giving him the extra week. Otherwise, I think they wait the extra week and get the extra rest with the bye and then bring him back.
It's always interesting behind the scenes, too, because they get the Bears next week on Monday night. We're always like, you don't think they're going to rest him for the Bears, Doc?
If anything, they would play him for the Bears because they view that as a divisional opponent. They don't view it like fans, okay?
Right. Oh, so, it's the Bears are 2-9 or 2-7.
First of all, in my experience in the NFL, teams don't overlook other teams. No one says, oh, the Cardinals are this, or the Panthers are this, or the Bears are this. If anything, the Vikings are saying that's a divisional opponent. Now, fans will say it's a national TV game, or you should be able to win that one. And, you know, they count wins and losses.
Right.
Coaches don't do that. Now, it's possible that they say, look, we're not going to utilize Justin Jefferson that much this game anyways, based on scheme. Mm-hmm. And we may da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or it's more important for us based on scheme to have Justin Jefferson the week after the bye. Let's not risk it. They will do some of that and the calendar watching in terms of resting, but nobody says it's just the Bears. Look past them. If anything, it's, no, that's a divisional game. We should play him because the divisional is one of the early tiebreakers.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, they're not. Not count wins, that's a slippery slope. Seems like in a locker room that, oh, we have to win, or we're going to win this game easy. It's not a good mentality to come in the game with.
I found your Ryan Leaf game.
Okay, give it to me.
So Ryan was fired that season. So
I know that.
So it was June Jones, actually, later.
This is June Jones' game. Yes. Okay, my bad. Sorry, June. June's the best. I love June Jones.
Third quarter. So, by the way, Willie had 5 picks, Leaf 2. So there's 7 total picks.
Oh.
Third quarter, Leland throws a pick. They put in Leaf. Leaf throws a pick. They lead Leaf in, let a field goal drive, stayed in another drive, fumble, touchdown, put in Wheelahan, pick, put in Leaf, pick.
There you go.
Let's put it this way.
Pretty good memory, Doc.
I got it completely wrong, but I chalked it up to PTSD. 7 picks? I mean, okay. Sorry.
Can't keep them all straight.
Sorry, Ryan Leaf. I thought you were the starter and got pulled. It was Wheelahan. It's the other way around. Leaf had already been benched. It's Wheelahan's the starter. Leaf got put. In other words, can you blame me? I couldn't keep track of who was the quarterback. I mean, it was just
Leaf rookie year.
Yep. Boom, boom, boom. In, out, in, out, in, out. And June Jones, love June Jones. He could have been our head coach. He chose to go to Hawaii.
He had a great offensive mind. Yeah.
He chose to go to Hawaii. I mean, one of the best, I'll give you a little anecdote about June Jones. He wanted the team over real quickly. He did something that I haven't seen a coach do. In a team plane, look, I'll give you a guess. Where do you think the team doctor sits? First class, business class, coach.
With the players.
No, not even with the players. Back of the bus.
Yeah.
Near the bathrooms. We're in front of the team radio guys, but not much more than that. Usually it's head coaches up front, and sometimes it's the entire coaching staff. Sometimes it's head coaches, GM, and veterans. You know, sometimes they do it by big guys. June Jones sat like one or two rows away from me when he became the head coach. That shows you something.
And man of the people.
Hey, we had some conversations back there. Yeah, I was, let's put it this way. If the plane had an emergency landing, there's no question I'd be out the back door, not even the middle door. As a matter of fact, I'm almost the guy that needs to open up the back door. No, just kidding. Usually the very last row was the radio guys that would travel with us. But, oh, that's not entirely true. The back row, if the team had any sponsors on the trip, mm-hmm. the paid, you go with the team. You know, you think you're going to be sitting up there with Phillip Rivers and LT. First of all, you enter the plane from the back. You're not even taking the same stairwell. You exit from the back. You're not even taking. I mean, you'd see him. You'd be on the same flight. And I guess there was no security that would tackle you if you walked around the plane, I suppose. But, you know, they were behind me, but that's about it.
He's an XFL great too. He was PJ Walker's coach when they first started, when they did really well. Nice. And he's the offense coordinator of Seattle Dragons last time.
There you go. Shout out June Jones. Still in the game. Do you know who came out of that, the starter? Ryan Leaf or I'm blanking on the other guy's name.
Craig Wilhan.
Craig Wilhan.
Where did Craig Wilhan go to school?
Research department.
University of Pacific.
Oh, wow. UOP, I've been there.
He wasn't on the team after that year.
What city is UOP in?
Say Sacramento, but not really.
Stockton.
Stockton, that's what it is.
Home of?
Stockton Ports.
Home of, who's the most famous people, NFL related, to be from Stockton?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on.
I know.
I don't know.
The Spanoses.
Oh, really?
Really?
They're from Stockton. Wow.
Yes.
Didn't know that.
Alex.
And they adopted SoCal after that.
Yeah. That's part of that. People in San Diego didn't ingratiate them, even though
that's why they're
even though they lived here and the kids and the whole deal. But yeah, they're the Spanos family's big benefactors of UOP.
North Carolina or North California, Southern California rivalry. They're right in the middle of it. That makes sense. I want to mention one other name too on my list. Joey Bosa. They said X-rays were negative on that foot, so they said Rapport was leaning towards. He hinted at a sprain. I don't know that we've had that specifically at all, but.
Look, is it a fifth metatarsal Jones stress fracture that doesn't show up on X-ray? It's still in the picture. Got to wait and see what the MRI shows. Let's hope it's a sprain, but here's the bottom line. He usually plays on the defensive right side. This is his
right foot,
right foot getting around the edge. He's going to miss some time. And I would be. It would be great news for the Chargers if he could come back after short-term IR.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if he didn't hit IR.
Given the Chargers season, we'll see how where they're at 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now.
Given the position that he plays and what have
you. Backup just was put on IR due to a foot fracture. So that's
two at that spot,
rushing. So it's just going to be Khalil Mack and Co.
Wow, that's a big blow for the Chargers. Let's get to
who's calling the plays for them defensively. Just joking.
what do you make of that? Why don't be so defensive? You're the head coach. I know you're the defensive guy, but don't be defensive.
I don't know. I didn't see the same. I shouldn't have made that comment. I'm not hating on Brandon Staley or any coach, but you got to have some thick skin for this job. And I don't know the circumstances. Now, if a reporter baited him for the fourth time asking the same question, I could see him being human.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, coaches want to win too. But yeah, I mean, there are better ways to put this kind of thing and better ways to explain things. Look, a lot of coaches, communication, here's the thing that I've noticed about coaches. How do you get to be a head coach? What's the pathway?
Usually position group, and then you work your way up. And
to be a coordinator.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, typically. I mean, or you come through college.
Yeah.
But you're okay, Brandon Staley, you're a good, great defensive mind. Now we hired you. Or you're a great offensive mind, and now we've hired you. Where is the training to be a head coach?
I feel like it's on the job. There's not a lot of mentorship that's available unless you're under a great head coach, but then usually that job's not available for a while.
Yeah. And let's say you do get some mentorship when you're coaching, even if you're a coordinator, you think the head coach is really setting aside, like, no, this is what you need to do when you are the head coach, right?
How you handle a press conference. Too much.
Yeah.
It's like drinking from the fire hose, head coach a little bit. Like,
and if how often do position coaches and coordinators speak to media? Not
rarely, if at all.
Often. Yeah. But all of a sudden, they're told they need to be the great communicator.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes some things get lost.
Hey there, listeners of the Sports Injury Central podcast. Ever felt the wear and tear of intense training? We get it. Recovery is crucial. That's why we're introducing you to Mushroom Life. Unlock the natural power of functional mushrooms with their range of tinctures, soft gels, and more. All designed to support your well-being and elevate your performance. And for those days when you just want to kick back and relax, check out their Euphoric Mushroom Gummies, the perfect blend for that post-game relaxation. Very nice of them to send us a sample pack. I can't wait to dig in on my next off day. Now here's a treat for all our loyal listeners. Use the code SIC and snag an incredible 50% off across the board. Dive into the world of mushrooms and elevate your wellness journey. And always remember, shroom responsibly. Head over to Mushroom Life now and discover the magic of mushrooms. Click link in the bio in the show notes, mushroomlife.com. That's mushroom, L-Y-F-E.com. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Now, it's not an easy exchange being up there, the only one answered questions and taking responsibility, all this stuff. Now,
I know we do a lot of coach speak, and I don't think we're critical of coaches. We're just trying to interpret what they're saying. But like we said last week about Matt Eberflus, he got so much crap about Justin Fields for saying he's out of the Thursday game, but he's doubtful. And media just hammered him for it. Yeah. It's simple to just say he's officially doubtful because we're leaving hope alive, but I'm telling you, he's not going to play.
Right.
Really simple, right? I mean, it would have explained it all.
Yeah.
Instead, it got testy, and well, I'm telling you, he's out. We're still listing him as doubtful. Both things are true, but just like, you know, there's a whole different level to it.
Yeah, they get caught up in the minutia when there's a game status specifically, and you're saying, why is he this game status, not the other game status? It's, yeah,
it is what it is.
Splitting hairs a little bit.
Yes.
Some other big divisional games. These ones are on Sunday, but some injury issues involved. Saints at the Falcons. Saints have that host issues, but they had a bye. So Derek Carr, expecting him to be back.
They just released. Pelissero said he's still in concussion protocol.
So he's going to have to progress. Doesn't necessarily mean he did suffer concussion.
Still in concussion protocol. You want to take that as good news or bad news? I don't take it as bad news. If the word was he still has concussion symptoms, that's bad news. Right. Nobody gets cleared from concussion protocol on Monday after a bye week.
Yeah.
The earliest you would get cleared is after Wednesday, after a full practice, because you need a full practice. And could it happen Tuesday? I suppose. But until you do a full practice, you're never cleared from concussion protocol. So no one should read into that as negative news right now. It's neutral news. Right now,
too early.
Yeah. He's still in concussion protocol. Not shocked.
He could be out by Wednesday when the injury report goes.
Right.
Now, and even if he's not out by Wednesday, he still can practice and progress through.
Right.
Like, you only have to get out of the protocol by the end of the week.
Saturday at the latest, they could get it all the way to the Sunday.
So right now, I still don't have worries. Now, if the reports were different, that he has symptoms of concussion still, that's a different story.
Right.
That he's still in concussion protocol. Who was that on the Eagles? I don't even remember. It's not the same thing. I saw something on social media. There was an Eagles player that had been out of football for 30 years.
I'm not remembering his name, but he got like disqualified and just never applied for reinstatement. And he was
still on their roster.
On the exempt list or something.
Something for like 29 or 30 years.
Yeah, Taylor will find the name.
And then last week he showed up on the transaction reports that he's been released.
Bernard Williams,
that's what it was.
His final game. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's not quite that.
Right.
Okay. But you get what I mean.
Yeah.
there are idiosyncrasies of the system, and that's one of them.
Now, by our internal data, just for this season, 59% have returned in the 2 week span. 22% have cleared without missing a game. But if someone misses a game, 59% are back for that second game.
59% of the remaining 78%.
Right.
So let's think about the math here.
can we not?
No, I'm serious about this. If you're saying Derek Carr has a 59% chance of playing this week, I would say that's not
high enough.
Yeah. It's higher than that. 22% of players play the first week. You take those 22% out.
Right.
Of the remaining 78% of players, 59% of those play the next week. So 59 over 78, do the math. That's the number.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the number.
70-something percent. Yeah.
I'd say it's 80.
Right. So that's a good sign.
That's not that good.
Good sign for him playing. And those are
59 of 78.
Yeah, 75.6%.
All right. Yeah. Oh, rounds to 80. Winner. Rounds to 80.
And that's just our concussion protocol tracking, just guys that have been in it. So good news for Derek Carr.
You like that round up? No.
We'll go to the scoring table for that one. Michael Thomas, I know they were kind of non-committal about his knee, didn't say specifics. You saw hopefully just MCL. Is this week too much of a stretch for him?
I think so.
And then Lattimore is a high ankle, so probably too soon for him as well.
No, Lattimore.
Like you said last podcast, that's a bigger loss. They're number one corner, and they already have a really good safety, a good defense, not a good offense. So
right. Steelers against the Bengals. T. Higgins, does he have a chance to come back? I know he missed 2 weeks with the hamstring. It was a short week last week, so maybe first week he's has
we
a realistic
We gotta look at practice
shot.
Reports. We can't tell you how bad the hamstring was because it happened in practice.
It did, yeah.
But he's a speedster, so I mean, questionable. What side of questionable? I don't know yet, but I would not put him in the expect him to play. He's in the questionable bin.
I know that's going to boost the total a whole maybe point. It's at 34.5 for Kenny Pickett versus Jake Browning. That's not going to be a fun one to watch. Got some other fantasy relevant names. Cooper Kupp was one from the weekend that we didn't mention at the top of the show. Right inversion ankle sprain, you saw by video. He did have one in early October that was the same thing. He did come back to the previous game, didn't come back this time, so people are a little bit more concerned. Is he going to be out?
He came back for a little bit, didn't he?
He didn't come back to the game against the Seahawks. Guy that looked like him is a little 81 Trammell guy, so it did look like him.
I don't even know that I saw anything. I thought you guys said he came back. Anyways, I don't think it's significant for Kupp, so we'll see.
Yeah, they get the Cardinals next week, so division matchup. Got to expect that he'd try to be out there. Dallas Goedert, we mentioned being out. Any coincidence that he's not on IR? Is that just roster move hadn't been made yet? I'm not really sure.
First of all, the roster move doesn't need to be made until they need the roster spot.
Right.
Maybe they plan on carrying him. I don't know. They still could make it ahead of the game tonight if they needed to.
Yeah. So not done for the season, regular season, but still likely out, 2-3 weeks after this? A little bit more.
I think he returns in December. Just when in December?
Yeah. Continuing topic is those hip drop tackles, Doc. I know we bring it up to you and see your eyes roll a little bit, but Mark Andrews did go out with it. Lamar Jackson was hurt on it a little bit Thursday night. It's always when it's a
college
prime time game. College kid, Jordan Travis,
a Dak Prescott ankle fracture dislocation because of it. We'll sum it up here and we'll keep it short here because my voice is not lasting. Thanks for bearing with me. 100% hip drop tackles have higher rates of injury. And from an injury perspective, hip drop tackles, if you're trying to outlaw dangerous acts, I'm not saying intentional, but acts that put players at risk, hip drop tackles are one of them. Hip drop tackles can be as dangerous as horse collars. Sometimes more, depending. Same, get your ankle caught, broken your ankle. So if you're a purist about helping injuries, you should outlaw hip drop tackles. The question now is, what do you want Logan Wilson to do? He's hanging on to Mark Andrews' waist. He's trying to bring him down. It's not flag football. If he doesn't add his body weight to the equation, Mark Andrews scores a touchdown. Right. I get it. You could say, let him score the touchdown. I don't know what the answer is. You can't hit high, you can't low. You got him wrapped up. And you, okay, maybe if you swing, if you launch and swing your legs, maybe the egregious hip drop tackles. I think it's hard. I'm going to talk about it at length. I'm going to interview Marcellus Wiley on it tomorrow when we chat a little bit about his thoughts on hip drop tackle and how you out loud. The only other thing, and people will call it, you're making football a pansy sport. Maybe if you have both arms around the waist, that it somehow becomes a super quick whistle in exchange for no hip drop tackle. Like,
yeah,
if you know,
I can see that going wrong so many times, though.
There's yeah,
so many
I get it. This is where
slip the hip grab. Yeah,
this is where. It's difficult
right.
if you're trying. And so trying to thread the from a pure injury perspective, yes, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. But what do you want these defenders to do? And what do you want the new rule to be?
Yeah.
I think that's the difficulty for the NFL.
Nah, that's a fair point.
And we talked about it a long time ago. Kenyon Drake complained about it when he was with the Raiders. Exactly. And we agreed with him. That was several seasons ago.
Kind of on that vein, I got piece of the week. I got Josh Dobbs or Matthew Stafford. I know that Kareem Jackson hit is being reviewed, didn't get called on the field.
This is not an injury related, but I would be surprised, knowing the NFL, if he plays the next game. The NFL is about escalating discipline. First game back, and he launches and lowers his head. Look, that rule's for his own protection. Josh Dobbs cleared the blue medical tent. It's not good for Josh Dobbs either. But who that rule protects is actually the defender.
Yeah.
You don't want a guy to be paralyzed. And, you know, I'm not hating on Kareem Jackson. I just, from what I see.
It was the old way of tackling. Like, they taught you to, as a safety, you put your crown in the guy. But now it's not enough. That's the wrong way to tackle. So
I mean, you can bookmark this. Hard. I will be surprised if they don't take swift action, and he's out. He was out how many games this time?
Four. I think he missed four games this time. Double check.
Then he may be up for season at this point in time. Really? We got to look at the escalating system. And sorry, Kareem Jackson.
Yeah, I think it was four games. He last played October 22nd, and then yesterday was his first game back.
Sorry, Kareem Jackson.
Two games, and he was fined almost.
Okay, two games. So he's probably up for four games now.
Okay, now
I mean, in escalating, I don't know. I take that back then. If he's out two games.
Yeah.
But here's the problem with this Kareem Jackson, and it's optics. And what are the optics? Number one, you did it to a quarterback.
On a single game
on Sunday Night Football, not buried at the West Coast 10 a.m. window with eight other games going on.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a highlight or two. And they talked about on the broadcast, he just got back from the thing. And then they also talked about on the broadcast, there was no penalty on the play, which makes the league look bad that they're not adjudicating it. So yeah. I just would be surprised if he weren't suspended again.
Like you said, they've been watching him. There was multiple plays before the ones that were injured, that he was suspended, that he had roughing and stuff.
They've done this before. Who's the guy that they – Pittsburgh linebacker for years. They kept escalating discipline.
James Harrison.
They kept escalating discipline on him. Yeah. And they're going to make you comply. I'm not saying fair, right? I'm not being an adjudicator. I'm just making the observation. And in the end, the biggest point is for his own safety.
Yeah.
Is who it's for.
Another safety injury you want to mention, Taylor Rapp. They said positive news on him. All the tests came back negative for his neck injury that he was stretchered off for the Bills game.
Now, here's another good news about that. This is why I would say judge the injury, not reaction. When we saw it, it was more from the side. It may have been more stinger. It's not a nothing. We have no issues with the spine board, no issue with the ambulance, but the word was he didn't even go to the hospital. Which is kudos to the medical staff for taking a secondary look at him, not putting him and his family through the hospital. They assessed him in the light of day. They probably looked at video. When they run on the field, they don't have the benefit of video
right. Like
we do. And they said, okay, this one, let's take the collar off. Let's check him. Do we need to go to the hospital, et cetera, et cetera? And let's not overreact. Overreact in the moment is great. I'm not against that. But they took a step back and looked at it again, so he didn't even go to the hospital.
Remember, it was slightly delayed. There's another guy that they're attending to on the field, and he was on the side, and he eventually collapsed on the side, so it did look a little worrisome to start.
And, you know, who can blame him? They're a little still shell-shocked from previous situations. Yes. I mean, who can blame him?
Can we just stop the cutting to DeMar Hamlin? Like, we all know what happened to him. You don't got to show him on camera every time someone gets down and gets stretchered off. Like,
well,
give him some privacy. I know he's on a public NFL field, but come on.
He seemed emotional, so it doesn't seem right.
I get that, but are we really expecting TV not to show Taylor Swift and the parents tonight? I mean,
I get it, but come on, give the guy a break.
I mean, to me, I think there should be like maybe someone already has it. The cool kids on social media back in the day, you'd have a drinking game. How many times this, that, the other? Yeah. How many times? Like, imagine if you said how many times said Patrick Mahomes' name, Jalen Hurts' name, or Taylor Swift's name. Or a cutaway is to Taylor Swift is worth X.
You win last first quarter.
Yeah, no, if you draw Taylor's name out of there, you are done.
That's a dangerous game. Beast of the Week, I got Matthew Stafford taking that huge shot to the ribs, and he tweeted it, Doc. Came right back. I mean, he played through the game with that thumb. Didn't missed time. It was a little inaccurate start, but got better as late in the game.
I mean, yeah, Josh Dogg took a hit and came back. But Matthew Stafford's got to be the clear winner. Go, you'll insert the video in here.
Yeah.
Look at the yard marker. He's looking downfield. He takes a shot to the abdomen. He's standing there. If anything, his momentum's going forward. This is like out of the Matrix movie. He is knocked back 10 feet. Over 3 yards, he gets knocked backwards from a shot as he's doubled over in the abdomen. Look at the video here. He's thrown across the room, and he continued. It's like amazing.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they ran that delayed flea flicker play that worked for USC the day before, and I think it's Tutu Atwell, and he gave it back. That's why the defender had like a five-step run-up to hit him.
And his eyes are downfield, yeah. And he was still in the pocket, Matthew Stafford, but the play itself is brutal.
Right.
But look at the yardage markers. He's across this conference room table, blown from one side to the other.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. And
still got up and hobbled to the sideline. No, no cart, no nothing.
And played the next play. Yeah, I mean, that he
didn't miss a snap.
So you got to give him Beast of the Week there. Yeah. All right. Thanks for watching. I apologize for the voice and the thing. And Super Bowl replay here, yeah. Sort of. My son will be watching. We got family pictures, but we'll be done in time up with the grandparents, etc. It'll be fun. And then we're on to week 12 of the NFL, and happy Thanksgiving to all.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.